So, I called this talk, Who and What is God and How to Find Him? And if I use the word God, then I don't mean somebody who is somewhere or something that is somewhere. You all know this already. You can also call it the Self or Brahman or Jehovah or Life or Consciousness or That or It or This, however you like. And for this talk, I just chose to use the word God, but please don't be disturbed by it. So, this talk is to souls on search to find what the heart is yearning for. And also to the ones who found already, who already had an experience, who already have a glimpse, who already feel like I found what I was looking for, I have a deep experience. And then simply, hopefully it's going to be like a good reminder. Because it's not only about realizing what God is once, and then make kind of a mental concept out of it, or have a nice memory of openness and freedom. Because that can really easily happen, and it happened also to me, and happened sometimes almost to everybody I meet. No, it is more also about abiding in what we have found and living from this place. So if we have already found what we are looking for, it is really crucial to again and again contact what we know that is true. Not from the mind, but more from our being, until there is an effortless and constant knowing and awareness of what is pointed to, and until He is every cell of us, rather than us being identified with what we think we are. And to come to this understanding, what can be done is to have pointed out again and again what we are looking for until it becomes really our very own realization. And for this, I would love to talk a bit about my own path and my own journey. And also, I have a question. Has somebody something for my nose blow? Changed my trousers. It's gone. So I started meditation in a very young age, and I was about 4 years old. And on that time I didn't call it meditation because I had like simply no name for what I was doing. Yeah? My parents brought me to bed and they saw them sleeping, and as soon as they were out of the room I waited a little bit, and then I got up, sat in the middle of the room. And I was just quietly sitting there on the floor, being there in a state of no mind and just enjoying this simplicity of being there. And I remember I was doing this with open eyes, looking out and looking on the same time in. Yeah, and in this simplicity of just sitting there and enjoying being, enjoying my being, nothing more was needed. It was just this simplicity of being there while connected with myself. And this is what is really needed in meditation, to be connected with ourself rather than with our mind, which is important. And it's not that our mind is not also us, but I'm talking about being connected to something. Also the mind arises within. And to come to a sense of that and what that is, meditation is a really good tool. I haven't met like a better one so far. So when I was 4 years old, I had no name for what I was doing and no concept, not even a technique. It was enough to just consciously sit there on the ground in my room at night. And everything that is needed to connect and simply just be was already there. And it always is. It always is just there. Just needs to be contacted. And this is also this simply being I point out in the guided meditations. And by gifting yourself to it, it is going to be very surprising to see what is there to be found by our own experience. And by naturally abiding there consciously, what automatically happens is our awareness about what is there gets strengthened and refined, and we start to see the activity of our minds more and more clearly, and we start to see all the struggle we create to ourselves just by thinking in a specific way. And we start to see all the lies we tell ourselves and the ignorance we were in. And at first it can be quite shocking to see what we do and did to us and to others for such a long time. And at this point we may ask ourselves how to get out of it and how to change it, how to get rid of it or away from it, so we can be free from it. And by simply being aware of what is fabricated by mind, and by starting to see it with awareness, we are already on the way out of it. So that's really good to know that there is not so much more needed, just to see what we do to ourselves and to others in our minds. And sometimes it needs like a deep, honest look what is real and what is fabricated by mind to clear it. And sometimes the courage just to feel suppressed emotions to come to a deeper peace. Sometimes suddenly just so now I have lost. Sometimes like to feel and to have this courage to feel these suppressed emotions, to come to a deeper peace and quiet is needed. And sometimes suddenly in an instant we can just see through this fabricated mind stories about ourselves and others, and we can drop it. Sometimes forgiveness to ourselves and the other can be the key. Forgiveness and compassion. So however it needs the courage to face what is really there instead of living in a false truth the mind has fabricated, and an honesty to ourselves, an honesty and acceptance of what is really true. And just this simply being with what is and what is really true has a tremendous healing effect, because finally one can let go of holding on to what the mind was fabricating and hiding through a story or false ideas over and over again, fabricated with our and by our ignorance. And just by letting this process simply happen, we come to a deeper and more pure state of being, a more and more refined sense of openness and clarity. This naturally occurs, and then we can see into deeper layers of our mind and the false belief systems that we have built up. And almost everybody has to go through this process of purification, getting rid of samskaras or vasanas or issues, patterns, viewpoints, conditioning, concepts, suppressed emotions, however you want to call it. And it may look like a huge kind of pile of stuff to work through, especially if I put it like this, one after the other, patterns, viewpoints, conditioning, concepts. She's like, oh my God. But just by being here and doing one step at a time, one step after the other, can be done. And the beautiful thing is that this process has also an intelligence of its own. And being in this silent space of being consciously conscious, life will bring exactly what is needed to us. And to heal, to see through, to awaken, and to get liberated from all what is not true. In the same way like it brought you here to Satal, to this retreat. So what is required for that process to happen? And I haven't made like a real concept about it right now. I just wrote down what I could see myself that is needed. And what I could recognize was that it's the urge of really wanting to be free from all this false stuff the mind has created, and a sincere urge to get free from the suffering that comes out of it. And the wish of the heart to come to what is really true. Also, I found a willingness inside of me to really bring up this effort to get conscious about what I'm doing to myself in my mind. So to bring up this effort for meditation so that it's possible to develop the power of this discrimination that's needed to distinguish between what is real and what is unreal. And through meditation, also what happens automatically is that we strengthen our possibility to stay in this silent space of being, rather than being pulled back into the mind. And then also I found it quite tricky to have the courage to be without all these false ideas. to be without all these false ideas I had about myself and the world, and to inquire and feel into it, how is it to be without that? So that a disidentification with it can come. And I can remember that there was a part when John was doing his talk, I think Justin said that we develop from very early childhood on this constant being in a specific pattern, and it automatically jumps on when something seems to be frightening. And I myself can see that I was constantly in such a state of being frightened, being not fully relaxed. So I have never been really abiding in my being, in my natural state, in my so-called true nature, in the self or God. And it needs quite some courage to have a look deeper. What does it mean and what is it? And it's quite normal that there can fears come up into meditation when we come closer to the core of our being. So the first step is to be really, really honest with ourselves and to be willing to see what is true. Willing to feel the truth of our inner life and welcoming the feelings we pretended to ourselves didn't exist, pretending all is okay. And it sometimes can be quite a subtle layer of just thinking, oh, all is fine. But basically we are running in a pattern without knowing it, without recognizing it. And meditation has the power to develop this awareness, to see through. And it also pulls us very gently deeper so that we can come in contact with the truth that is there. And when we have once touched this truth, and we really don't want to live from anything else anymore than that, from this truth and this natural state of peace and silence and love which is there. So also what can be quite helpful to be pointed out, to have the courage to be wrong. And I can remember also Jay pointed this out last week, that we are so much into I am right. Just to have a little bit of openness, I could be wrong with my view, with what I think and thought is real. So here then the invitation opens up to this place of where we really don't know anything. We don't know anything by mind of what is wrong or right. And in this place of not knowing, courageously and willingly fully experience whatever is there at this moment. And to be with what is outside of mind fabrications. And to accept it and investigate in it by seeing what it is that blocks us from being in a free and harmonious flow. And what opens up there is a vulnerability And there also there is a willingness required to experience this vulnerability. And to find the strength in it. And that is what courage really means. To be that vulnerable. And to have the courage to be that vulnerable and open. And then there can be found the strength in it. And this strength and that courage surrounds us in every moment. So by this simple process of just abiding in silence and let things come, we will experience things will go and melt away. And things will be let go of. It's not so much that you even need to do it. Just by seeing through, they simply drop. And we can feel more and more free. And I experienced myself that I can be more and more free to be in a harmonious flow with life, to be free of blocks and filled with life energy which is moving through us. It's moving into creativity, joy, and love for what we do. And we will find ourselves more and more in a natural dance with all those around us and with the whole universe. And life truly starts to more and more feel like a joyous dance. So to show the power of awareness that gets naturally developed by meditation, I would love to go back and talk a bit about my experience with this natural meditation that occurred when I was a child. And it's quite interesting for me that I did this just for the joy of it and the nourishment that came from there. So nobody needed to tell me it's good, I just felt it. I did it just because of this good, blissful feeling which was there. I felt by doing it. And what happened? The meditation brought such a refined state of awareness that after I went back to my bed without trying to do anything, I did stay conscious through this process of falling asleep. And this awareness which was there was this awareness which we can find if we connect to our heart rather than to our mind. So I myself found a sense of I which is held in place by thought and patterns, kind of almost like running around this I, which is more an I that I find located in the head. And then there is another sense of me which I feel is located here in the heart area. And this me I was connected to in meditation, this me of the heart, which is also connected to the I am. So I fell asleep and I recognized I start dreaming. And in this dreaming, I recognized everything that appears is my own creation. So by recognizing this, I simply started to create the dream like I wanted the dream to be. Which was, for the creativity which was there when I was a child, a wonderful thing, like painting a picture the way I wanted to be. So I created rivers to swim in, and I met my best friends, and I was playing with horses and flying over the landscapes. But I want, what I want also to say is that refined state of awareness, it's so easy to see through what our mind is creating. And by seeing it, automatically there comes a distance in, and it drops away. Because we can sense, it is so much better to stay with what is true, rather than what is mind created. So after that part of playing with horses and flying over landscapes, a not so joyous chapter of my life started. And it shows as well a part of the functioning of the mind. So with 14, I experienced like sexual abuse by a family member of the wider circle of the family. I don't know how you say this in English, like where the uncles and the aunts belong to.
Extended family.
Extended family. Okay. And because of the way the structures in the family were, and the way how the family members related to each other, and the way I was under the power, I felt I cannot talk to anybody about it. And I just buried it inside of me. And I buried also all the shame and the hatred which was coming up with this incident, the guilt and the anger, the disappointment of the loss of somebody I trusted in and I loved so much. I also buried the fear and the struggle of not knowing how to deal with it. And I remember now that I went to bed that night in a state of mental shock. And the next morning, the abuse was totally forgotten by having it suppressed in the layers of the unconscious. But even suppressed and not conscious anymore, not being able to see it anymore, not being able to remember anymore, it kept working there. And I became depressive. And what is quite interesting for me now to see is that the day of the abuse happened, I also lost this ability to meditate. And why? Because I moved into the mind. Because the mind can be such a good hiding place to avoid feeling what we really feel. And that I want to point out, to become conscious of, when we move into the mind rather than being what is really here. So I developed a constant strong flow of thoughts overlaying the connection to the heart and my true being. And it was also because on that point I was not able to feel the feelings that got created by that instant. It was just too much for me to digest. I was not able to deal with the abuse in a way that could have been healing. I instead was fearful to be hurt more if I would face it. And I feel that's really in all of us. It feels so big, what may come if we really face it. In my experience, it's always smaller than the fear in the mind about it. It can be even a really good experience to feel it and to feel how it goes out of the system. By feeling, I mean feeling that what was suppressed for such a long time. And also, I was a child, and there was nobody I had to trust to be able to help me. And I did not know how to help myself at that point either. So I feel we are really lucky if somebody is there we can trust in, helping us to go through this process, pointing out the path of healing. So on a later stage in life, I used television to avoid dealing with my inner world. And I got addicted to TV. So there were times where 16 hours a day I was sitting in front of TV. 8 hours sleeping. And in between eating chocolate. There were days I had for 3 days just chocolate. And luckily, in Munich, there was some delivery, home delivery service. And I started to use alcohol a few times a week, just to relax my mind from time to time. And I tell this just to be an example for what we do to overcome, because we don't know better. Doesn't need to be TV, it can also be other addictions that come. Doesn't need to be chocolate. Doesn't need to be alcohol. So to get aware of the ways we use so that we don't have to see and to deal with what is true. So to make it short, at the age of 30, I was really desperately waiting for some light to come from somewhere. I was like, my God, just a book, something. Nothing seemed to help. And the periods of depression became longer and longer. So one day I saw a picture of a mountain without knowing which mountain this is or where it is. I just knew deeply from my belly I want to go there. And so I did. And it was the holy Mount Kailash in Tibet. It was this holy Mount Kailash in Tibet I went to. And this mountain, also called Kang Rinpoche, Kang stands for light? I don't know. Kailash, do you know? We don't remember. But Rinpoche for teacher, and I truly experienced this mountain as a powerful teacher. So in an experience of awakening, just through the presence of this mountain, I reconnected to my being and to real meditation. And within this experience, there came also a flood of insights with. And the mountain showed me who I really am. I am the mountain, and the mountain is me, and all else. So after that experience, I did not know how to express in words what was revealed to me. And even the Buddha says, there is nothing that can be said about, really. It can just be pointed out. You have to experience yourself. And I also had the feeling I cannot even try to explain it to somebody, for nobody would understand what I'm talking about. And around half a year later, I came across a book of a Tamil saint named Ramana Maharshi. And in this book, I found somebody who gave words to what I experienced. So who or what is this self or God or Brahman you're supposed to inquire or to surrender to come to self-realization? Who is God? So there is nothing but God. Everything and everyone is only a form of God. God is everything. Everything comes out of God. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. You are God. I am God. God is looking through your eyes. And God is looking through my eyes. God is looking from everywhere, and that's why you could also say He is nowhere. Because He is not anywhere in particular. He is within Himself, through everything, and plays in infinite ways. And it is His joy to play the way He plays. But this is something we have to find out for ourselves. Nobody can tell us or give it to us. We have to find out by our own investigation. We have to find out that that you and every cell on you is God Himself, and that He is everything, that you are everything. And everybody has to find his or her own way. You have to walk your way, not my way. So it is something that we have to find out by our own realization, our own experience. And a true sincerity and honesty is required, so that it's not made up by mind as something we have heard about, but by consciously knowing it and living from this realization, by being what we have realized, until it is fully and effortlessly always clear, so that we are a full expression of that. And I would like to read part of a text of this book, The Collected Works of Sri Ramana Maharshi, which also points to that. It also talks about what that is, that we are a full expression of. He who is the one pervading all things, he who has manifest as all, he who has faces in all directions, who is beyond thought, who remains himself as all the categories and transcends them too, is the Self. He who is the one pervading all things, he who has manifest as all, he who has faces in all directions, who is beyond thought, who remains himself as all the categories and transcends them too, is the Self. So now the way is pointed out, and the goal is pointed out, and it's up to us to walk the path to truth. Thank you very much for listening. So are there any questions to this? Yes, please. Yes. Yeah, that's something I would like to also say from our talk yesterday, because it's so easy to get caught up in this whole past life thing. And I was laughing a little bit inside because I got an SMS on my mobile phone. Do you want to know your past lives? SMS to this number. And a week later, do you want to know what you are in your previous life? What you're going to be in your previous life? So, there is like just a fine line between getting kind of caught up in it, or having it up, coming up naturally in meditation without wanting anything from the mind. So one can be very helpful, and the other is a path with a death end. So it's fun, you can do it a little bit, but it doesn't bring you somewhere. So, and I just wanted to say that it's also like a part of the path to become conscious of when are things made up by mind And when is it going to become a game? And when is it really useful to have a look into it? But that's not your question. So I remember having been a Burn monk. A monk of the Burn tradition. Close to Mount Kailash. Any other question? Also welcome to related to yesterday. Or to the talk.
As a child, as a small 4-year-old or 5-year-old and so on, were you noticeably less selfish or attached than other children, you know, as a consequence of the meditation?
I have to ask my mother.
Yes.
Yes, I just try to feel and to look a little from outside, because I just remember having been very natural and very happy and naturally relating to everything and everybody and being very happy. Yeah, so then that's
just,
it.
Yeah. I just want to say a big, big thank you for a very beautiful moving talk.
Yes.
It's not for nothing that most of us have speeches and we can fix it. For me, there is no room for questions.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, thank you. It's really great to hear from you.